Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. 1 hour from now, Michael Porter Jr. from Mizzou, lottery pick. Maybe a top three or top five pick in the upcoming NBA draft on Thursday is going to join us. Michael Porter Jr., 1 hour from now. 20 minutes past the hour, Michael Jackson's elephant escapes from the zoo. You know we're doing that story. And wait till you hear the Andres Cantor goal call from Mexico's win over Germany yesterday. The World Cup to this point has been phenomenal. I love it because the intensity, the urgency of every single match is extraordinary. The crowds have been insane. If you saw Mexico versus Germany yesterday, it felt like Azteca. It looked like a Mexican home game. And this is in Russia. It was incredible. And then Mexico getting this victory, probably the biggest win they've ever had in their nation's history on the soccer pitch. Guys are crying after the game. Guys are crying. Crying. And Bogus just had that update. What was it, 99.8?
99.6% of all TVs in Iceland were tuned into the Iceland draw.
99.6, you said? 99.6.
99.6% of every TV in Iceland was tuned into that game.
99.6%! Of all television sets in Iceland, 99.6. There's only 330,000 people in that country. So that means like three households weren't watching the World Cup. You know what that means? They didn't know it was on. I mean, 99.6% of 330,000 is got to be 329,950 or something. I mean, that's got to be like 50 people didn't know that the World Cup match was on. That's insane. And so I was tweeting about the World Cup over the weekend because I'm just so into this. I love the World Cup. Somebody tweeted back at me, DA, nobody cares about the World Cup. And I just paused and I couldn't stop laughing. Like, yeah, no, you're right. Except for everybody in the world outside of the, you know. I mean, yeah, there's a few Americans that don't care. Maybe there's a handful of Americans that don't care because we're not in it. But like when you say everybody or nobody, you're kind of ignoring the rest of the... Actually, everybody cares about this. Actually, if I went anywhere in the world and I started talking about Kawhi Leonard's offseason, they would go, nobody cares about Kawhi Leonard. Everybody just cares about the World Cup, DA. 99.6% of a country was tuned into the match.
He's gone.
I still need more Scott Farrell at some point this hour discussing with a CBS Sports soccer insider, Roger Gonzalez, about why his wife is rooting for Uruguay.
Uruguayan World Cup team.
It's so good. So good. But Tom Brady did a sit down with Oprah on the OWN own network, the Oprah Winfrey Network, and discussed how much longer he would play, and this made headlines.
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I would than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I think there, I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. What does that end look like? Is that 43? Is it 45?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as I'm still loving it.
As long as you're loving it, you're going to do it.
Yes. Yeah, so, as long as I'm loving the training and the preparation, willing to make the commitment. But it's also, I think what I've alluded to a lot in the docuseries was there's other things happening in my life too. You know, I do have kids that I love, and I don't want to be a dad that's not there.
So I think this is kind of an interesting subtext to Tom Brady's career. Tom Brady has very obviously looked to open up his private life. He has put pictures of tender moments with Giselle on Instagram. Facebook has been a platform where he has put videos or pictures of him with his family, infamously riding white horses on the beach, just like we all did growing up. Don't you remember? Riding white stallions on the beach with your supermodel mom and your quarterback dad. I mean, if I had a nickel for every time I rode a white stallion on a white sand beach with dad and mom, I don't think I've ever been on a horse, actually. So, Tom Brady's docuseries, this Tom versus Time for Facebook, a whole show about behind the scenes, I think has been a very calculated effort by Tom Brady and his people, Team Tom or whatever, to humanize Tom. Because look at Peyton Manning. Cut that meat. Singing jingles. Selling pizza. Peyton Manning just always seemed like a regular guy, even though he was a superstar. Tom Brady never seemed like a regular guy. And I think there has been a big push from him and his family or his team or whoever handles the business side, let's humanize Tom before he retires. Let's do a sit down with Oprah to talk about how long he'll play. And so when she asks him, what's the end, 43, 45, in other words, will you play two more seasons, three more seasons, four more seasons? He doesn't really commit to any of that, but does say the end is coming sooner rather than later. So people jumped on that. I don't think that that's that big a deal. Sooner rather than later? Well, yeah, because he's 41. He doesn't have 10 more years to play. He doesn't have 15 more years to play. So it's going to come sooner rather than later. It's going to come in the next 2 to 4 years. I think it's in the next two. I think specifically, the relationship with Bill Belichick has become burdensome because of the longevity of it, because of how hard Belichick pushes. I think Brady wants to do things his own way because he feels like he's earned them, and neither side is necessarily wrong there. But I think because of the burden of that relationship and the winning and the pressure and what they both put into it, I think Brady is starting to get exhausted. He's starting to allow that to come out a little bit. And so now there's going to be a push in these final 1 or 2 seasons, I believe, to truly go behind the scenes with the TB12 method, push the coffee table books, all about the kids, and as he says here, I want to be the dad that drives my kid to games. I want to make sure my kids have perspective in their life. I want to make sure I've got perspective in my life. I want to make sure I give my kids attention. He is right now cultivating an image of the family man before he retires. Because that's going to be an important part of his post-career business model. I didn't think him saying, I'm going to retire sooner rather than later was interesting. I found his commentary, his answer about his relationship with Bill interesting.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean, I love him. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that he's an incredible you know, coach, mentor for me. And he's pushed me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And like everything, we don't agree on absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But that's relationships.
That's relationships.
Yeah.
That's a good pause there in the beginning. Is there something going on with you and Bill? Pause. Pause. No. That's very telling to me.
No, I mean, I love him.
Mm. Look, this is when a marriage goes bad. And somebody says, well, you know, what's going on with you and Jill? And you go, no, look, I love her very much. This is like when girls get together and one of the best friends goes, so what's going on with you and Bruce? And she goes, well, look, I love Bruce very much. They are coming to an end. That is the most interesting part of this, is that it's becoming untenable for both of them for the reasons that I laid out. And Brady is showing his hand. Now, I don't know if he's showing his hand from a calculated standpoint. He might be. He might be showing the hand of, I'm going to show enough to let people know I'm not happy, but then I'm going to pull it back and be diplomatic. Or if he's trying to be diplomatic and simply can't hold it back. I don't know. Either one is possible. But that's the story here. The story is the Belichick-Brady marriage is not going to last past two more years. They're going to get 2019 out of it, and then I believe somebody is retiring after 2019. I think this is the last year of this duo together. One of them, my guess is, will outlast the other. I think one of them will want a final year outside of the other. I'm not saying that Bill wants to play a rookie quarterback, but I think that there's a part of Bill would like to finish his career with the entire team being on the same page, and he knows right now his quarterback isn't, and his quarterback is drawing some people away. Perhaps that's Gronk. Maybe that was Amendola. Could have been Edelman. Seems to be Edelman. I think there is an element where Bill would like this to be one final kick the can without Brady, even though he knows Brady's great, so he gets everybody on the same page. I think Brady would love a year without Bill. I do. I think he would love a year with just Josh McDaniels, which is where I think the money is right now. I think this could be Bill's final season, and then Brady plays a year past this with Josh, and kind of you gauge his health in 2020, or 2019, rather. But that really is the story here. I mean, Mraz, how many times do we have to hear Brady kind of hem and haw his way around the relationship with Bill to just finally realize it's not great, it's doable, but neither one of them is happy in it. And I don't know if Bill ever has to be happy. I think Tom would like to be happy.
Yeah, and again, if it's great and it's fine, there's no pause, there's no there's just simply you shoot right out of there. My relationship with Bill is great. There's nothing wrong. You guys on the media like to play it up, and it's clearly not that, so we just have to accept what it is. They are an arranged marriage at this point. They are married by winning, and that's the end of it. There's no love lost there between them.
They're together for the kids right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Waiting for the kids to graduate high school, then they will go their separate ways.
Yep. That's exactly what this is. We want to make sure that we go to the recitals together and graduation together and be at the high school stuff together and be at the prom together. We want to be together for the kids right now. But once we have an excuse to not be around, we don't really need to see each other.
Tom's sleeping in the guest room.
Oprah asked Tom Brady about whether he trains separately from the rest of the team. He said, quote, I wouldn't say that, but I probably do some of my own techniques differently from the rest of the team. The team, I would say, like most teams, are very systematic in the approach. And what I learned is that, different from some of the things that are systematic, they work for me. It's nothing that I don't talk about with my coach or owner, but I say, this is what I want to do, and hopefully you can support that. He has distanced himself from the way the Patriots do business and the way that Bill does business. He's going to go down the Alex Guerrero mode and do the whole TB12 thing. And he has become more distant. And this is an awkward relationship right now. Again, it doesn't mean they can't win, because both of those guys, Belichick and Brady, are great at what they do, all-time greats. And so from a business standpoint, on the field, on Sundays for 3 hours, they can still get it done. But it can't last like this for much longer. It certainly can't last like this for five more years. I don't think it could last like this for two more full years. When we come back, the most DA show story of all DA show stories, Michael Jackson's elephant escapes from a zoo. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Happy Monday to you, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Full episodes available. Go to our website, daoncbs.com. All the audio you want to listen to, or on iTunes as well. We've got a fantastic Michael Jackson-themed story, which truly was a thriller at the Jacksonville Zoo over the weekend. And with potential game changers all over the board, CBS Sports Network's team of college basketball experts will break down everything that you need to know about this year's NBA draft class. Don't miss the Inside College Basketball Draft Specials starting tonight, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Here's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all, geico.com. Sparky has dialed us up in Florida listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Spark.
How's it going?
Good, bud. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's fantastic. It's going to be 90 today here in Central Florida, and it's just a day, you know, the sun comes out every day here. It's a sunshine state.
Okay, I like it. So you're not worried about a 90-degree day in Florida. You like it. You're encouraged by that.
Man, I left Ohio 3 years ago just to get away from the winters.
All right, right on, man. It's probably 90 in Ohio right now, too, but I hear what you're saying. Very cool. All right, so what do you think? What do you got?
Yeah, I've been talking to the people in Ohio, and I'm telling you what's going to happen here in the NBA before everybody gets all nerved up with this NBA draft coming up Thursday.
Uh-huh.
We're all talking about Kawhi in San Antonio. We're all talking about everybody going out there to L.A. and being movie stars. Well, I'm telling you the truth, and this is what's going to happen. LeBron's going to stay in Cleveland, and he's going after the Godfather. And we all know who that is. That's Chris Paul from the Houston team. Chris Paul's coming to Cleveland.
Chris Paul's the Godfather. Chris Paul's the Godfather.
Yeah, Chris Paul's the Godfather of LeBron James' kid.
Right, okay.
And he's coming. He's coming to Cleveland with LeBron, and Kawhi Leonard is going to make the jump, too, once Chris Paul makes the announcement and says, I'm going to Cleveland
now,
with the king.
I don't think that the Cavaliers have the money, though, to get those guys.
They're going to unload big time.
But who are they
going to unload? And I'll tell you, there's going to be some heads falling at the end. You know, people aren't going to be happy. They ain't going to be playing in Cleveland anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Cleveland's going to clean house.
So you think that the Cavaliers first of all, they've got to find trade partners for a lot of bad contracts. Secondly, they're going to get LeBron, Chris Paul, and Kawhi all to Cleveland, huh?
All to Cleveland. That's correct. You watch and see if that doesn't happen, because it's going to be the best thing for NBA basketball. King stays in Cleveland.
Now, do you have inside information, or this is just your gut instinct? This is your read on the situation.
This is inside from Ohio. Chris Paul is going to be in Cleveland. If anything, if LeBron stays, Chris Paul is coming to play with him.
Inside information, breaking news right here. Sparky in Florida is saying Chris Paul to the Cavaliers, huh?
And if he comes, Kawhi Leonard's going to be right behind him. There ain't no way L.A.'s going to get Kawhi Leonard if Chris Paul goes out to Cleveland. Kawhi's going to come and play with the champions of the East.
Huh. And will that be enough in your mind to take down the Warriors?
Well, you know what? All we can do is wait and see. But I'll tell you what, I don't think they'll have a problem getting around Boston.
Okay. All right. So Sparky in Florida has got inside channels in Ohio. And you heard it here first. Chris Paul and Kawhi going to Cleveland, and LeBron is staying.
That's exactly what's going to happen. The king doesn't want to have to leave Cleveland, and neither does his family. And there's nothing out there in L.A. that's a luxury. He's got the movie thing going on out there, and he can jump on a plane and be out there in 3 hours anytime he needs to be. But, you know, L.A. isn't going to bring LeBron out there just because of the stars. He's already a star. Okay. And he's the best thing for the NBA basketball, period.
Okay, there you go. Sparky in Florida, breaking news. There are Woj bombs, and then there are Spark bombs. And the Spark just dropping right there. Inside information. We should probably give that to Bogish for the headlines.
Is that so?
Yeah.
I think we're looking for a spark plug there.
That's a spark plug. He just dropped the spark plug right in our face. Richard's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, D.A. Love the show.
Thank you, sir. What's up?
I got a question for you. We know that Belichick, with all his rings and all, is going to go down as a GOAT. We know Brady is going to go down as a GOAT as far as quarterback. He'll be ranked up there with Montana and all. My question to you is this. Joe Gibbs, who coached the Redskins, went to 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. Where would you rank Joe Gibbs as far as coaches in the poll? If you had to rank them, say, 1 through 5 or 1 through 10, where would you put Coach Gibbs?
It's a good question. I think when all is said and done, I'm going to put Belichick 1, even though he really has benefited from having Tom Brady the entire time. What would Belichick look like without Tom Brady? I think that he would go to the playoffs. I think he would have winners. I don't know if he wins Super Bowls, because Brady is his ultimate security blanket, but he has been amazing in so many situations that I think I'd go Belichick 1, Lombardi 2. I'd really have to think about it after that. I mean, you have to put Chuck Knoll in that conversation and Don Shula. Shula, all-time leading wins, and Chuck Knoll, 4 championships in 6 years. Gibbs might be just outside of that group. Remember, there are 2, you can call them compliments. I think there are 2 caveats as well to those 3 Super Bowls. 2 of them happen in strike seasons. Joe Gibbs wins the 82 championship and the 87 championship in strike years. Had those not been strike years, you could say, well, Joe Gibbs took advantage of a situation and was able to coach up guys better with a lot of fluidity and inconsistency. That's true. But you could also say they weren't the best teams those years. And had they had full 16-game schedules, certainly in 87, a team like the 49ers seemed like it was going to do it, or the Chicago Bears coming off 85, or the Giants in 86. So you got to take that and also factor it in. But Gibbs is obviously a phenomenal, fantastic coach. Phenomenal. All-timer. It's time for your dumber ship.
You Earthlings are strange life forms. Should we really highlight these weirdos?
Being weird is not a crime.
It's your latest installment of The Dumber Ship.
I absolutely love Mraz's tease for this story. Michael Jackson's elephant says, "Get me out of here." At the Jacksonville Zoo over the weekend, this actually happened yesterday, Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens has the elephant that formerly was Michael Jackson's elephant on the Neverland Ranch. A gate was accidentally left open, and the elephant, Ali, a sweet-natured bull elephant, ended up in the courtyard walking through the gate. It was behind the giraffe and elephant barn. Jacksonville Zoo said the guests were never in danger. Safety protocols were put in place, and zoo staff sprung into action to get him back where he belonged. This is from First Coast News. His keepers quickly and safely walked Ali back into his enclosure with some food encouragement, which is basically how we get Mraz into the studio every day.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Come on, Shawnee. Come on. We got a pizza in here. Come on. Come on, we're almost on the air. It's almost 9 a.m. Eastern time. Shut. Got a cupcake in here. Come into the studio. And he's just going.
He's got to finish eating the breakfast he made at home and brought to work and be lured in with better treats.
When we play the oinking pig for Yankee fan, that's actually Mraz rooting around in the newsroom as we try to get him into the studios. Come on, Shawnee. Come on. You
here,
can do it.
Shawnee.
Here's buffalo chicken. Oh, here's a little dip for you. Come on, Shawnee. The show's almost starting.
Chocolate chips or who knows.
Come on.
You eat both. Come on.
Come on, Shawnee.
It's kind of true. That's what hurts.
Mraz has openly said that he would work harder if I bought him treats, like a chocolate chip cookie. He said he would work harder, so Shawnee, come on, I got you some treats today. Come on, I got you Jacques Torres chocolate chip cookie today.
Don't tease unless you're going to give.
Yeah, how do I get one of those?
Ali was out of his yard for a full 20 minutes, finally was walked back into his pen. The zoo placed on Facebook a story about this, and the zoo posted, what do you do when an elephant ends up at a yard he's not supposed to be in? You moonwalk him back into his proper enclosure. Ali, our sweet-natured bull elephant, came to the zoo in 1997 from the Neverland Ranch, went through a gate that was accidentally left open, and ended up in a courtyard. Guests were never in danger, and safety protocols went into place. But my favorite part about this Facebook post was it ends, let's give a hand to the staff who were able to get him back into his yard so quickly and proceed to fill the comments with appropriate Michael Jackson song titles and GIFs. The worry here is obviously that there's a lot of inappropriate Michael Jackson references about Neverland Ranch, about everything else, an elephant. And let's just make sure the Jacksonville Zoo's Facebook page doesn't turn into Barstool comment section. That's kind of the hope here for Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens.
It just dawned on me. Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Is that how the elephant got there?
Yeah, they named Jacksonville after Michael Jackson.
I never freaking knew that.
How can you not know that?
That's awesome.
Jacksonville, yes. That's the Jaguars went there primarily because the King of Pop was such a huge influence on that city.
What was it called before Jacksonville?
I think it was Seaside Proper or something like that. You gotta look it up. Seaside.
No, don't look it up. Just trust us.
Oh, no. It was First Coast. First Coastville, maybe. But yeah, I mean, Mraz, thinking about how famous and successful Michael Jackson was, don't you think it's proper that Jacksonville would rename its city after Michael Jackson?
Are they from there? I don't know the backstory.
I'm trying to figure out right now.
I think, Mraz, isn't the Jackson 5 from Jacksonville?
Well,
no, I didn't think they were, but there has to be some kind of tie.
Yeah, there. Well,
the elephant.
Obviously, when he left the Jackson 5, he had originally performed in Jacksonville for the first time. And that's kind of where he started his solo career.
Well, the timing, it's 1968 was when Jacksonville was founded. So it wasn't even named anything before that. But the Jackson 5 was early 60s, right?
No, right around that time, yeah. 68.
That makes sense.
Right around that time.
That's cool, though, to get the elephant all the way from Minnesota to Jacksonville.
That's Minnesota.
The Neverland.
Prince. Yeah, he's not Prince.
Oh, that's right, Prince. Yeah.
Prince is Minnesota.
California, I assume.
Yeah, okay. California. Yeah. So we've hit a lot of.
I blame you again, DA. This is your fault. He's asking me questions in my ear now. Is he not from Jacksonville?
When we come back here on the show, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, including a fight breaking out at a minor league baseball game. And we've got the audio. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Ow! Excuse me. 4227. Excuse me. You say it in jest.
Excuse me. The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I have pneumonia having just heard that. 43 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always watch the simulcast at watchda.com. The best of clips available on Facebook as well at facebook.com/TheDA Show and on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. We got to get Jim Rome in the Hall of Fame, huh? Jim Rome. Let's elect him to the National Radio Hall of Fame, as I've talked about many times before. He is the godfather of doing this. He is one of the greats ever to do it. He'd been doing it at a higher level for longer than anybody else. He is absolutely a Hall of Famer. Voting is open. There are two easy ways to vote. Cast your vote at radiovote.com and dial short code 96000. Text them the message 800. So basically the phone number is 96000, 96,000. And then text the message 800 to vote for Jim. Standard message and data rates may apply. People talking about Kawhi Leonard, whether he will end up in Los Angeles. Reports over the weekend say that he prefers to go to the Lakers. If this is true, Los Angeles right now is sitting so pretty despite being a mess the last couple of years. I mean, would that not be amazing that the Lakers, despite totally messing up the end of the Kobe Bryant era and drafting guys like Julius Randle, who are fine but not great, have some young players in Kuzma and Brandon Ingram that you like, and Lonzo Ball, but nothing great. But they have cleared the cap space, then that sets themselves up for adding massive talent. Let's face it, a Lakers team with just Kuzma, Ball, and Ingram is not going to do much. But then you clear that cap space, and that does everything because the Lakers are still the Lakers. And that's just an unfortunate reality for those that hate the Lakers, but it's real. The Lakers have your post-career brand. They have post-career ties. They open up business opportunities, and you get to be part of the club. And there is something about being part of the club. It works for you when you're playing. It works for you when you're not playing. It works for you forever. And so for the Lakers to have cap space to be the Lakers and to have not gone down the road of chasing bad free agents with bad money yet, it makes them desirable. Now, is Kawhi going to go there if LeBron and or Paul George doesn't want to go there? I'm not sure. Would the Spurs trade Kawhi Leonard to a hated rival just because Kawhi wants to go there? I think we're still a far way away off from the Spurs admitting we can't re-sign him and we got to trade him. The one thing that could be working in the favor of the Lakers is that if the Spurs this week decide we'll never get anywhere with Kawhi, they might want to trade him right now to get the draft pick in Thursday's draft. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Spurs want to take a wait-and-see approach, knowing that they're not going to get back an equal value for Kawhi. So don't jump at trading him right now. Play it out for as long as you can to see if you can convince him to stay. Let's get to your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Brooks Koepka wins his second straight U.S. Open yesterday. This is the first time anybody has done that since Curtis Strange did it in 1989.
This one's a lot sweeter. To go back-to-back, I mean, that's... I really can't even put it into words. You know, when you look back at history, it's incredible.
Brooks Koepka does not look like a golfer. Brooks Koepka looks like a football player. He is pretty jacked, which is kind of funny because it's almost like the generation of Tiger Woods disciples who realize with Tiger, oh, wait, golfers don't have to be out of shape or not muscular or not work out. They can be athletes first and then golfers second. But I think it's interesting because Brooks Koepka actually kind of refined his game by playing in bad weather situations overseas. He won in Japan, he won in Turkey, he won in Italy, he won in Scotland and Spain. And I think that really helped this weekend because look at some of the scores that were out there. And him just kind of being able to maneuver the winds and the course delivered him that back-to-back U.S. Open championship. Here is audio courtesy of WJHL. And it's a brawl at a minor league baseball game.
It's new at 6 tonight. Video captures a fight that broke out over the weekend at a Kingsport ball field. This video you're looking at your screen was sent to us by a viewer who said he took this during a game involving a travel softball team in Kingsport. Now, he tells us this all started because of a call on the field. That viewer also said police officers were called to this fight and that everyone from both teams were asked to leave. Now, we're still waiting to confirm if a police report has been filed in this case.
Now, I apologize. Not a minor league baseball game, a softball game. It wasn't even organized enough to be a minor league baseball game or a semi-pro game. It was a softball game. And if you watch this, this is Kingsport, Tennessee. The camera just catches, of course, a whole bunch of dudes rolling around in the grass, punching one another and kicking one another. Which feels an awful lot like that cornhole tournament.
Get!
This is stupid!
This is stupid!
This is a softball tournament! Why do we keep fighting with one another? Can't we all just get along?
Get!
You get. You stop rolling around in these here grass.
It is a cornhole tournament fundraiser.
It is a softball team trying to get to the second round of this weekend tournament. And you guys, this travel softball team needs to go and fight one another? Well, you guys get.
This is stupid.
This is stupid. That's the best part of that clip. This woman is trying to get that cornhole tournament under control. And this drunk dude just yells, "Whoa, we're going streaking." That's the response. What I was a little worried about with the cornhole tournament, it's kind of like, here's a bunch of guys rolling around kind of fighting. But everybody is somewhat kind of just watching it unfold, and it's not that big a deal, except the organizer feels like it's a bad look. If you listen to the ball field brawl in Kingsport, Tennessee, people are screaming like, "Oh my God, my husband's gonna die." It really sounds like a scene out of 300. I mean, that really sounds like it's the end of world. It's the end of days. So, happy Father's Day to all those dads out there that decided to fight at a softball game in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Get!
You roll around the grass to get grass stains for what? For what? Because of trash talking at a softball game? Happy Dad's Day. And finally, how about Mexico beating the defending World Cup champions 1-0 yesterday? It is arguably the greatest moment in Mexico national team history. Germany, heavy favorites. Mexico, always good, but not good enough. And they end up winning. Here's how it sounded with the great Andres Cantor on Telemundo with the goal. So good. So epically good. And the win for Mexico is enormous. And the coolest thing about this win for Mexico was they were the better team throughout the entire match. They basically dominated Germany. And Germany looked old and slow. And Mexico were the aggressors. And you never thought that coming in because Germany was heavy favorites to win a second one in a row. And Mexico, again, never can get it done. They've never beaten a team at that level, a world power, ever. And they get the win in their first match of the World Cup. Now, there's plenty of time, not plenty of time, but look, Germany can win its next two matches and still get out of this group stage. But look, that is, for Mexico, absolutely enormous. And the Mexican fans have been going bonkers in Russia. Absolutely bonkers. And that stadium was on fire yesterday for Team Mexico. So they are just having a freaking party. Coronas and Tecates and Modelos for everybody. That sounds pretty good right about now. When we come back here on the show, Michael Porter Jr., coming out of Mizzou, a highly touted NBA lottery draft prospect, is going to join us coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.